We get the hour underway, though, by welcoming to the program an actress that you know from television shows, films through the years. She co-starred with Elvis in Flaming Star. She was in the movie A Private Affair, a number of TV series, but of course, best known as Jeannie, who emerged from that bottle to change the life of astronaut Major Anthony Nelson. She's also the author of a brand new children's book entitled Barbara and the Gin. We are pleased to be joined by Barbara Eden. Well, hello there, Barbara. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be with you.
Well, it's a treat to get to talk with you. I love the new book. What inspired you to write a children's book?
Well, I guess I can attribute that to my mother and my aunt. As a child, I was read to a lot. And consequently, I love books. I love stories. The minute I learned how to read, they took me to the library and got me a library card. That was my Aunt Margie and my mother. And from that day on, I would go to the library every Saturday and get the limit, which was four books at that time, and read them all week and then bring them back on Saturday again and pull out four more. I feel that the children today are really missing a lot. They're missing the excitement of seeing in their imaginations things that when they read, you know, you see it visually. You see what's going on, and they're so used to already having that handed to them on, you know, like on the phone or the iPad. Movies, they're missing that very important thing that you can take with you anywhere. I have always had a book with me, no matter where I went. I always had one, and I was never alone.
I understand for you, as it was for a lot of people, The Secret Garden was a favorite.
Yes, it was. Of course, I like all the Oz books, and then I went to the Zane Grey. I would go down and take a whole list, you know, of the authors, and just go right down the line and read them.
Well, in your book, Barbara goes on quite an adventure, and it's the adventure of storytelling, of imagination, and that's the power of books and reading.
It really is. It really is, and you're never alone if you enjoy a book and you have one with you. You can go to all kinds of lands and people. You meet different people. You go all over the world with a book. I just feel so sorry for so many of the children who aren't. I guess it has to start out with the parents reading to them before they can read, and then give them this gift of reading a book and traveling all over the world with it.
Well, and Barbara certainly does that too with the help of her new friend, and it's also a book for the times we live in too, because she learns about finding people with differences, embracing that, and helping them.
Yes, she does. She learns that kindness and understanding of different people. The people that she meets are all different colors, different personalities, and it's a wonderful lesson.
I want to give credit to Jason Moore for the wonderful illustrations in the book.
Aren't they wonderful? Yeah, I'm very lucky. I'm so lucky that he agreed to do it.
Well, I've got a 7-year-old in my house, and he likes all of the technology, but he's also a big reader. And today is Library Day. He's pretty excited to take back the pile of books that he got last week and grab some new ones and go off
good.
On new adventures.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That was my life.
Well, and as you pointed out, it starts with parents, and it starts with them opening that door. And I say this, I teach high school students, and I tell them all the time, you know, there will come a time when some of the things that you do now when you're young won't be as easy to do. But if you love to read, that will be with you for the rest of your life.
That's right. That's right.
I want to talk about, first of all, what's going on in America and the world with COVID. And I read that both you and your husband had to deal with COVID.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But we were so lucky. He found out, he had gotten it from his family. He'd gone to a family reunion thing. I didn't go, but he brought it home, you know. And our doctor immediately got us into the Cedars, and we had the antibody infusions. This was the day after I was that they said that I was positive, you know, and I hardly knew I had it. I had maybe a gentle headache.
But I guess it hit your husband a little harder, right?
Yes, it did, and he deserved it. But yes, it did. Poor thing, because we didn't know soon enough for him. But he did get the infusions, and it did. He stayed home, and my girlfriend and I took good care of him. Although we both had it, he gave it to both of us.
Now, when we were all locked down, obviously you did a lot of reading, but you also watched some things, and I saw that you loved the same movie that I loved. I was so absolutely blown away with My Octopus Teacher.
Oh, isn't that great?
Mm.
Yes, I watch it more than once, actually.
Well, it's so beautiful, and then you don't expect the way the story is going to play out.
Yeah, it was fabulous. In fact, I didn't really want to watch it. I thought, well, why do I want to talk about it? You know, I want to watch something about an octopus. And my girlfriend talked me into it, and well, I was sunk. The minute I saw it, then I watched it again and again.
We are talking with Barbara Eden here on Downtown. I'd like to talk a little bit about your early career. It was the Johnny Carson Show that in many ways gave your career a big boost, but not the Tonight Show that everybody knows, but his early variety show that wasn't a real smashing success, but it did wonderful things for you in your career.
Well, yes, it did. It just got me started, actually, because, you know, unless you know someone in any business, it's a little tougher to get started. And I didn't know a soul in L.A. I mean, except my aunt and uncle, who were not in the business at all. So that was the Johnny Carson Show, doing sketches with Johnny. He was a summertime replacement for Red Skelton,
right,
at CBS. And that really, yes, it did. It was gave me a big boost.
You did a number of TV shows, from Perry Mason to the finale of Route 66, but also film work. We worked with Elvis. You co-starred with him in Flaming Star. What was that experience like for you?
It was fabulous. It was just wonderful. We had, first of all, it was a fabulous script. It had been a book, and Elvis was, oh, how can I explain him? He was just the most gentle soul. Loved his music. In between scenes, you know, he and his he called them his cousins, and I believed him. I thought they were his cousins until years later, when I was being interviewed and on radio, and someone called in from Tennessee. And I said, oh, you were one of the cousins, you know, and he started talking. And he said, oh, you bought that, didn't you? And yes, I did. I thought he was a cousin. But Elvis, they'd play and they'd sing, and his daddy was there. Elvis cared about what he was doing. He didn't take his gifts lightly. He wanted to, first of all, the part he was playing was a half-breed Indian who died, didn't get the girl, and he didn't sing a song in the movie at all. But he got wonderful reviews for his portrayal. But that didn't translate at the box office because his fans really wanted to see him get the girl and sing.
Right.
But gosh, he was good in it, and he really cared. He tried. He worked very hard at it.
He also did a terrific movie with Gary Crosby, Sal Mineo, A Private Affair.
That was my first one at Fox, yes, when I was under contract to Fox. That was interesting. That was interesting. I'll tell you why. We had a big scene where we all sang, each one of us, of course, had a boyfriend, and mine was Gary Crosby. Now, we were shooting this scene, and at the end, the girls pirouetted and then sat on the guy's knee because they were there, right? Well, lucky me, I had Gary Crosby, and he decided to walk off. Just
ouch.
So I landed on my fanny, you know, on the ground. Oh, boy.
When Sidney Sheldon saw the success of Bewitched and had an idea for a new television series in 1964-65, was there any reluctance on your part because you had been successful in your film career? Were you reluctant at all to move to television?
Oh, not at all. Actually, when I was at Fox, I had already done a television series called How to Marry a Millionaire.
Right.
We did 2 years of those, 39 episodes a year. And I liked television. I liked it a lot. And I really loved the concept of the genie. I had been reading about it in the trades. And, of course, they were testing all the gorgeous brunettes who were like 5'8", tall, Miss Italy, Miss Greece, all the Mediterranean countries, but gorgeous, gorgeous women. And I thought, that's not me, you know. And I put it aside. I forgot about it. And then my agent sent me a script, and I read it. And, of course, I immediately recognized what it was. And he called me, and he said, well, did you like the script? And I said, well, yeah, I think it's wonderful. Do they know what I look like? You know? And he said, well, I think they do. They've made an offer, but they would like you to have tea with Sidney Sheldon at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. So that's what I did, and we hit it off, and I got the show, and I'm so happy I did.
You also got to be a brunette for a few episodes as your evil sister.
Yes, darling. Yes, oh, that was fun. I also played my mother with a great big belly, and I had a good time doing that. I was a brunette also in the Seven Faces of Dr. Lau, the
right
movie at MGM, which that was fun. It's always fun being something other than what you are.
I know you were friends with Larry Hagman for the rest of his life. He was such a talent, able to do comedy, as we saw later with Dallas, of course, and in some great movie roles, too. I loved him in Harry and Tonto. He was a guy who could do anything.
Yes, he was. He was. He was really talented. And I enjoyed working with him more, I think, than any other actor that I've worked with. We just connected. The rhythms were there, you know. We believed each other, which is, of course, what actors try to do.
You had a wonderful run, too, with both the movie and then the television version of Harper Valley PTA.
Oh, yes. Yes. I was very, very happy for the producer. That was Phil Borak. He was a man who had never been near a movie studio, but he decided that this song was would make a good story, and the film, of course. But he raised all the money. He got it all together, and guess what? Everyone who'd been laughing at him for doing this, he made a lot of money with that show, with that tiny little movie. And I was so happy for him. That was he was wonderful.
Now, as I mentioned, I've got a little guy in my house, and we were watching TV not all that long ago, and I said, I think I recognize that voice. And sure enough, you were doing voiceover work for the series Shimmer and Shine.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was fun. That was fun. I like that.
You also toured with Don Knotts in a show I had the privilege to perform in as Barney Cashman in Regional Theater, Last of the Red Hot Lovers.
Yes. Yes, and he was just... Well, of course, I had met him on the Andy Griffith Show. I played the manicurist on that. And he was just wonderful to work with. And at the time, you know, he had macular degeneration, so his eyes were not great. And he told me as we were rehearsing, he said, look, I will be looking right at you, but I'm not seeing you. I only see from the edges, the outside of my eyes. And I didn't understand, but I believed him. And then later I looked it up and I knew what it was all about. But he was remarkable on stage.
Well, Barbara, the book is absolutely delightful. Barbara and the Gin, a brand new children's book. It is a wonderful read. It's inspiring and hopefully encourages more children to get out there and read. And you can have all the devices, all the technology in the world, but nothing can take you on a trip like a good book.
That's right. I so agree.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Boy, the 8-year-old me, if he knew someday I'd get a chance to talk with you, he would be pretty impressed with himself.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because I loved astronauts, but there seemed to be something else that drew me to the show at the time.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We wish you good luck with the book and continued good health and success.
Thank you so much. Very nice talking to you, Rich.